I'm going to refrain from singing that. Although that would be quite fun. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just one second. The last time I spoke, there was a big white podium thing here. You could hide behind and grab onto. So, let's see if I can make this go. So, Doug, I don't have a monitor back there. Which will probably be okay. I came prepared. Years ago when I taught at Georgia Tech, I used to teach in lecture halls. You know, 200 or 300 students, and they had no trouble. Oh, there it is. They had no trouble hearing me. And the story I tell on my kids often is, they asked me to use my inside voice, but they realized I really don't have an inside voice. So if we lose everything, except for those of you online, you'll still be able to hear me, I'm pretty sure. So let me get myself all set. I'm Wynn Strickland. Some of you might not even know me. And those online, we're really glad you're here this morning. I am Lee. Thank you for the prayers. He is one of our elders. I am one of the elders here at Cornerstone as well. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity today to share with you from God's Word a topic that's near and dear to my heart. I wanted to start today by just showing you this picture. I was trying to find slides. First time I have to confess to ever using slides as well when I spoke. Technical training at Hewlett-Packard, chalkboards at Georgia Tech. Yeah, not so much, although the slide decks at Hewlett-Packard were provided. So you get to ride along with me today on my first attempt at slides. I will confess that. And this picture really caught my attention. Today's topic is on perseverance. And I think the question that I would have for you today as we start is, when you look at that picture, what comes to mind for you thinking about that word, perseverance? I would ask you to think about, what mountain are you trying to climb today? Might be more than one, figuratively, of course. Where are you in that? When you look at the different people there, they represent different places you could be in your climb or your struggle or your trial to me. Which one of those in that picture are you? We'll come back to that. And really, I should have gotten a slide probably with just one person. Are you climbing your mountain with other people? Are you going it alone, doing the best you can? Something to think about this morning as we talk about perseverance. What brought me to this topic? When I preach, I like to preach from something that's impacting my life. And I think most every preacher would tell you that when you prepare for a message, you get a whole lot more out of it yourself than you think most other people probably will. And I'm sure that's the case today. I hope that you'll glean something for your own walk with our Lord today. Well, the past several weeks, here we go, got to get my clicker going. The past several weeks, we've all been under Peter and Rob and James, one of our other elders, Pastor Rob and Pastor Peter, teaching on a number of topics. Last week, I have a quote. Peter closed with, "One day, every tongue and tribe will worship King Jesus, even the most powerful nations on earth. No matter how dark, persevere. One day rest is coming. Don't depend on worldly things for rest. Don't give up." We'll see that don't give up theme a couple of times through this. Rob spoke on courage in the light. He had a quote from Eugene Peterson, which we'll get to here in just a second. And it really tied in with what I hope to get across this morning as well. And then James spoke a couple of times on the body. And what a body we have here at Cornerstone. So those messages, and then as often happens when I get stuck on a topic, the devotionals I read, social media feeds and posts. And you might go, social media? Should you really be on social media? I'm going to share a couple of things today from some social media posts. There's plenty of things to not see on social media, for sure, that's beneficial. but the reach that social media has. To see an update, for example, on a whole complex in Kampala, Uganda, or in Kaihura, or a friend across the country who's suffering from some illness doing updates. There's plenty of positive things you can glean from social media. I went to a high school graduation for our nephew and gleaned something that seemed to apply directly to today. The prayer chain that we have here at Cornerstone, which we'll talk about more in a minute. Caring Bridge updates for some folks that have gone to use that tool as a way to provide really lengthy and meaningful updates. So I've really had a lot of things hit me over the last month or so as preparing. And I wanted to mention this morning one of the things that I think led me to this topic is I got to celebrate an anniversary just this week. It's not an anniversary with my wife. That's coming up later this month. It's another round number, not quite as big as those you've heard today. We hope to get there. It was my one-year anniversary of my diagnosis of Parkinson's. And I shared that with you all on the prayer chain and a couple of times, and I try not to bore you with the details. I have all kinds of funny stories I try and tell about it, and I'm resisting the urge this morning to tell you many of those. But there are plenty of funny stories to go along with it so far. But the topic of perseverance is really near and dear to my heart. For me, for my primary caregiver, my wife, for our family and friends, we're going to persevere. The last thing, but certainly not the least, is this really great study we're doing in Men of the Word, and this is not a shameless advertisement, this is the truth. In Men of the Word, we're studying Romans. And I mentioned this when I did communion, and I heard that some of the elders got asked by some people, well, who is that Doug McIntosh guy that he referenced? And I, you know, when you've been here for a while, and we haven't been here nearly as long as those of you that started the church 50 years ago, Doug McIntosh is the former senior pastor here, and he led Men of the Word for decades. So we shared, I think about a month or two ago, we shared the story of discovering his full updated Romans commentary after he had to step away. We'd gotten through quite a bit of Romans, but when he had to step away for health reasons, that kind of came to an end. With Cheryl's help, his wife, we discovered the rest of it, we put it together, and now we're going through it again. And so on a Tuesday morning, a little early in the morning, 15 or 20 of us are sharing the commentary and are, in an iron sharpening iron sort of way, going through chapter by chapter of that commentary. But again, he's the founding senior pastor for Cornerstone. The thing that's interesting to me, I'm going to share his translation of Romans 5, 1 through 5, as we get here in a second. And you might wonder, why would you share somebody's personal translation? Well, as Doug taught here over the years, he would often pick a word or two in some translation that was close, but not quite. You know, English doesn't do the greatest job in some cases of translating the Greek meaning. And I am no English major, never mind a Greek major, but he was. So I hope you'll take a look at this, pick your favorite translation to follow along with, that's perfectly okay. And a story I heard somebody telling even this morning in the congregation, he did his devotions in the original Hebrew and Greek. That's how he started his day. I have to get out a thing called Thayer's or some online tool to kind of do the Greek stuff, and I'm not going to try to do much of that today. I even noticed when he taught in Men of the Word, if I got the right seat and saw his laptop up he was teaching from, he often was teaching from the Hebrew and Greek translation or passages. He wasn't using an English translation. So he had a degree from Dallas and plenty of experience and a great understanding to help with translation. So I hope you'll take his translation as a way to understand maybe a little more meaning to what's going on in Romans, the first part of Romans chapter 5. And I just wanted to mention, we're nearing the midpoint in our study of Men of the Word. And we got through the opening chapters. They were framed in a great amount of legal terminology, but they're a very clear rendering of our stance before God. And if you've never been through Romans, if you're joining us online today and haven't thought about that, the pretty short and sad summary is we've all sinned and no one is worthy on their own to be with God. We're going to be separated from him forever. But through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, Placing our faith in him immediately puts us with God eternally. And so in Romans 5 today, we're going to look at a couple of things, and we're going to focus on the word perseverance. Let's see if I can get that up there. All right. So one of Rob's quotes that stuck with us, and my wife loves to, she's got a book of quotes. We have them up in our house. She changes them every so often, just finds some really good, meaningful quotes. This was one of them that she remembered when Rob was talking about this in his message. And perseverance, a long obedience in the same direction. I want to tease out a little bit the difference between perseverance and patience. They're very similar, but I think there's more meaning behind the idea of perseverance. Now, as it turns out, I was going to have this great quote and talk all about it, and then I actually bought Eugene Peterson's book, which is titled A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Discipleship in an Instant Society. It's really a cool book. I think Rob mentioned it in his message as well. It's chapters one after the other talking about different facets of discipleship. And you know, we've been kind of hitting discipleship a lot lately here. There's a lot of discipleship going on, which I'll get to in a minute. But that's part of our 10 and 10 goals that Peter and others have been sharing, and I'll come back to that later as well. So, there's a quote. There's a few other quotes I found. You'll probably like these. Spurgeon, you might know him. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. And then the really deep theologian Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over. A different look at perseverance. But here's a more learned, if you will. This is from my buddy Thayer's Greek-English Lexicon of the New Testament. It's hard not to remark. Years ago when I did sermons, I still have them on my shelf at home, all these paperback and hardback books, you know, and there'd be stacks taller than me around the dining room table of all these printed copies, which, of course, now, if I get my phone out, they're right there, right? So it's a little different. But here's how Thayer's, the Greek lexicon, defines perseverance. In the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. So think back to that mountain climb that you're on and I'm on. No matter how steep the mountain or how hard the trail, if we're persevering, we're unswerving. A word, by the way, that the Word document didn't like as a spelling word. Apparently unswerve doesn't count. But just a little bit of interest on that word, and I try not to get too far into this. I'm a detail kind of person, so sometimes I dive all the way in. But perseverance is found at least 48 times in the New Testament. And sometimes it's translated patience and endurance. In your translation, it might be long-suffering and other words like that. Other times it's rendered perseverance. That's because there's both an active and passive aspect of the Greek word, which I'm not going to try to pronounce. On the one hand, it means to endure passively, but on the other hand, there are times when it may also mean to persevere actively. And that's the meaning I have in mind today. An active, constant, striving and unswerving effort towards some goal, or just making your way through a trial. Lee prayed about many. We have plenty to talk about if we wanted to go through the list. It's a trait we can all use. And before we get to the passage, I'm going to reframe pretty much what Lee prayed. What sort of trials are you going through that could really benefit from persevering? I had this whole long list. I thought about the graduates today. You might say that all of those persevered to make it to their graduation, high school or college. A lot of work. Maybe the parents also persevered on their way to graduation. And that's quite possibly one use. But in our own body here, in the last few years, we've been through a lot, collectively. The death of a spouse, the death of a parent, the death of a child. in some cases, both of those. Crippling illness diagnoses like cancer, multiple sclerosis, dementia, Parkinson's. We have caregiver challenges. Many are caring for some loved one in their family. And that's often not easy, depending on the situation. So, I would say we could all use some perseverance, and that's what we'll look at today. So, with that, let's get to the passage. So, on your handout, you have both translations, well, both, two translations, the Doug McIntosh translation and the New King James. So, I'm just going to read from Doug's translation, and I think if you know Romans 5, 1 through 5 at all, you'll recognize some of the word choices he made here to help highlight the meaning in this passage. So I mentioned we finished the first several chapters in Romans, and here's the therefore. We're not going to stop, as you've been told many thousand times, what's the therefore, therefore. We're not going to go back to all that. But since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. We're justified. Through him also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the expectation of the coming glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings, since we know sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance approvedness, and approvedness anticipation. Now, anticipation does not disappoint us because the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I see this is new for me, so I apologize. Get the other three verses up there, he says, hopefully. Okay. I'll go ahead and move on. I see what the clock says back there. Time flies. So the first part of the outline on your back has to do with what I call the uniqueness of persevering. Because if you read through the first couple of verses there in Romans chapter 5, some things we get instantaneously at salvation. When we put our faith in Christ, we get justified, and we get many benefits immediately that can never be taken away from us. Eternal life, be with him forever. There is no threat to that once we've become a believer and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ's work on the cross. But interestingly, there are other things here that we sort of get to work on. And that's kind of the pairing that I picked out for today is the phrase, we rejoice in our sufferings since we know sufferings produce perseverance. So I thought that was a little bit unique in the list of all those different benefits there. So we have peace and access and grace, which we'll talk about a little bit. But in the middle there, which is really the beginning of a list of things, there's something we go through to grow, to become more mature, to become more Christ-like as we're here on this earth. And one more thing from Doug I wanted to mention this morning, one bit of his commentary before we move on. To the unbeliever, this is from Doug's commentary, his personal pains and difficulties issue either from random events or because some unseen spiritual power is holding a grudge against him. The Christian does not, or at least should not, think in such terms. We understand that all questions regarding God's fundamental attitude toward us have now been answered. He loved us. He gave himself for us. He declared us righteous. What further proof could we ask for of his attitude? His proven commitment to us flavors the pains and heartaches of daily living. Because God has revealed his intentions to us, we now know that such sufferings are designed to produce the virtue that the New Testament calls perseverance, which is the inner quality of not being rattled by seemingly incidental events that might ordinarily cause us discomfort or anxiety. We know that behind the apparently senseless buffetings and blows that come our way lies a tender divine purpose. We may not know in this life precisely what that purpose is, but we do know that God has our best interests at heart. So the uniqueness of perseverance, persevering through something, we know the basics, but we may never know exactly what is going on there for ourselves, for others who are observing. We just don't know. Other lists, like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, they don't seem to have this challenging aspect, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Didn't really notice anything there that says, you got to do all these things. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. But this idea of obtaining something by going through it isn't just from Romans or Paul. In James 1, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Perfect there doesn't mean perfect in the way you probably think about it at first blush. It just means mature. So there and other places in the New Testament, we see this progression. And we could do an entire sermon on the first part of that passage I read from James. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Now, I will say, I don't know about you, but when a trial hits me in the face, it's often not my very first reaction to go, yay, joy, right? I was telling somebody, we've been going through some stuff in our basement to sort of get ready to perhaps downsize in the not-too-distant future, and it's hard not to laugh. I found the final exam that I delivered in 1982 to the computer logic design class at Georgia Tech. I probably couldn't pass it myself now, but it's still in the box. And then I found a box full of sermons and other things from a few previous church environments. And one of the very top one from just about exactly 30 years ago was on joy. So I'm resisting the urge to spend 30 minutes on joy and then coming back to perseverance. And I see I forgot the slide too. I told myself I would do this. I appreciate your patience. Oh, no, actually, I thought I had. Okay. I've confused myself. Nothing too hard about that. There we go. That's what I read. Sorry about that. So I wanted to just briefly talk about joy in saying that the New Testament writers that spoke about rejoicing and joy, and there's a lot of times that it's mentioned, they didn't just write about it. Make your way through the book of Acts. They lived it. I'll just read one because it's just so remarkable. It's in Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. The apostles, I noted they're tangling with the council. They agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They beat them and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. How are you and I doing with our mountain? Do we look at that with joy, counting it worthy to suffer to be a testimony for Jesus Christ? Even if we don't know what the testimony is, who we're impacting, what exact purpose of God are we serving? Often you can figure that out, and it's a blessing. Sometimes you can't. But in all circumstances, do we consider it joy? Given the time, we're going to move on. And he's going to try to hit the slide this time. So next, I want to spend just a minute on the choice to persevere. And again, could spend some time here, even in Doug's commentary and in plenty of other places. When you think about a believer or an unbeliever, what is their reaction to suffering? Well, let's just focus on believers. Some believers, when they face trials, they turn away from God. They turn away from God. Others, maybe grudgingly accept it and kind of just keep powering on, maybe still partly in their own strength. Some get closer to God. Some have joy about the situation. When things hit us, well, I was going to read. Let me read one of those social posts that I mentioned. I'm trying to edit my way through to 12 o'clock. We know his timing is, this is from social media. We know his timing is perfect, as I was reminded by a recent social media post by someone I'll mention in a second. Let me read part of that. 1 year, it popped up on my feed that 1 year ago we announced this second adoption. 5 years ago, we announced our first adoption too. Time is a funny thing. Some days go quickly, some go so slow. We're getting ready to renew our home study, if not match soon, and I would be lying if I said I wasn't weary in the wait. Was hoping growing our family wouldn't take as long, but the Lord has a different timetable than mine. He always has. He patiently reminds me time and again that he can be trusted. He's never late. I hope if you're feeling weary, that you hear and believe that tonight too. That's for my daughter, as they wait for adopting their second child. Many of you know us. You know about our first grandchild, Horizon, and the joy that he is in our life. So we're all kind of waiting. But as we wait, we try not to grow weary. We know God loves us and his purposes are good. Another person here in the congregation shared with me how they are going in their current pretty major trial. And I'm just going to say a couple things here. One thing that comes to my mind is remembering how much God loves me. It sounds simple, but I forget. Lack of perseverance is when we have lost hope because we've given up. There's that word again. Given up and don't have the energy to press on. So what choice are you making in your mountain climb? Where are you? Again, I'll say that joy response, which is the best one of all, exulting in our sufferings, as Doug translated it, that's the way to go, but that's often not the very first thing that crosses my mind. The other point I wanted to make, and there are many points we could make here, is that the reminder that God is sovereign. You know that, and I know that. He's in control of all things. Do we understand his plan? Someone mentioned plan earlier. I think Rob, right? We may not know his exact detailed plan for us. We often don't. But we know it's good and it's perfect. Our part is to be with him in the struggle, if you will. There was a book I was going to read from that talked about God's sovereignty and had 17 or more God in his providence type statements. But I think most of us understand that. So you have a choice to make when you face trials. A choice to make. Which choice would that be? Then I wanted to talk about purposes, and I'm going to do this quickly too, because we're not quite to the thing I really want to talk about a lot today, which is often the case. There are many different purposes to persevering, so I'm not going to try to name them all. But I have a few on this slide. First and foremost, whatever we're going through is to bring glory to God. You know, it might not even be here on the earth that glory is being shown. But that's first and foremost. For us as believers, it's about growing and maturing. You could call it, I know, big word, sanctification. I try to avoid those when preaching, but it's becoming more and more Christ-like, right? We had that verse in Romans. We had that verse in James. 1 Peter says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Another one of those progression lists. Can you look back prior mountain climbs in your life and see how you've matured over those years? I hope so. It's a process. It's part of how we get more Christ-like while we're here. And the last thing on this slide, and Kim and I have done pretty good at this, maybe not at the very beginning, but this is a way that we often almost immediately think these days, and that's to comfort others in what you're going through. So when a trial hits you in the face, whatever it is, we went through the list. First thing we think about these days, almost always, is how can we be of use in this situation for the next person that goes through it. I was talking to my brother in Christ yesterday about this. What can you do to help people out depending on the serious trial they're going through? Sometimes, having been through a trial yourself, you know that all you need to do is show up. You don't need to say anything. You don't need to do anything. You just need to be there. And if you've been through the experience, you certainly know what it's like. And as I told him, I feel like you have a certain amount of credibility with them to actually minister to them without actually doing or saying anything. So there are other purposes, but those are some to think about. So now here's really what I wanted to get to. What is our role when we hit a trial and we need to persevere? I mentioned I recently went to a high school graduation, and I'm going to steal this. I didn't ask him for possibility to do that. I'm going to paraphrase it anyways. But the speaker, just before diploma presentations, who recognized he needed to finish as quickly as possible so he could get to the important part, here's what he said to the graduates. It's a little bigger scope picture, but you'll get the idea. Salvation is not a destination. It's about transformation, about becoming more like Jesus, following Jesus. It's a starting point. We get all those many blessings that we talked about a little bit instantaneously, but it's just the starting point. We must step beyond. He said, and you've heard us say, leaders here at Cornerstone, faith works best in community. And individually, we should be renewing our minds, as it says in Romans 12:2. And his summary was, that's time in prayer and time in God's word. So here's a verse or two about God's word. There's a lot of them, as you know. John 8:31 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And it was interesting, again for me, Mr. Non-Greek scholar, that word abide, we've had teaching on that here. You've probably learned a lot about abiding in his word. That word abide in the Greek is actually the root word of persevere. So abide in my word. Psalm 119:107, Psalm 119 has 176 verses all about God's word. This one says, I'm afflicted or suffering very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Time in the word. Time in the word is essential. Another thing is prayer. That's one of those things in the Romans verses that we read. We have access. We have access to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the... Oh, this is 4:14, sorry. 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I skipped over the first few verses before that. You can go look at that whole passage. Another verse on prayer is from Romans. If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit, there's that word. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Even when we don't know exactly what to pray, we should pray. We have access. We have a helper in the Holy Spirit. We should pray. A friend of mine, who I've known for quite a few years now, he got esophageal cancer diagnosis a little over 5 years ago. Went through some fairly serious surgery to remove a whole part of his esophagus and part of his stomach. He's cancer-free. He's an amazing man. He is a testimony. I asked him to summarize what he thought persevering was all about, because he has been through it and continues to have issues. And for him, it was a summary of two things: pray for others and reflect Christ in the process. And that's what he's done over those years. He's been a real encouragement. And that's what we can do: pray and reflect Christ. Okay, the participation. Here we go. And it's 12 o'clock. And I promised I would not make any how long can I go jokes. I am going to take just a couple of minutes, though. Because here's where my shepherd's heart gets blessed most often, here at Cornerstone Bible Chapel Church. Sorry, that's an old thing coming back there from preaching. And I know I'm probably preaching to the choir, as they say. But we are the hands and feet. When somebody is going through a trial and they're persevering, how can we help them? How can we be engaged? Recently on the prayer chain, here's one example. I'm just going to read it straight out. This was also accomplished by the presence of CBC angels who have come beside us to stay with Doris. This is from Sandra and Jerry Clemens. Starting last fall, so we could both go to choir rehearsals on Sunday afternoons, and now on Sunday morning, so we can both go to church, and they're here today, and do ministry as we've been called to do. Calls, texts, cards, visits, meals. You are all incredible, and we thank God for you all. Coming alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ is what we've been called to do. It's not that hard. And in our situation, our sitters have found that Doris is bright, articulate, funny, and a great conversationalist, despite the hearing issue. So we humbly thank you and our God for shepherding us through this past year. That's the body participating in persevering. You know, we all have different gifts and abilities and skills. But in every situation, there's something we can probably be doing to assist others in persevering in their own struggle. I can testify to that in my own life. I won't tell you all those stories. The short one for me is years ago when my dad had his stroke, and I went and had to spend weeks down in Florida as that first started to develop. The calls and the texts and the cards were very supportive at a time that I was away from my family for quite a long time at once. And if you'll allow me one more story, and then we'll close with a summary here. Just yesterday, on social media, really longtime friends of ours posted an update. This man is a testimony for Jesus Christ. He was always helping the youth at the church we were at, got them to a place called Camp Hope up in the mountains, took them up there, encouraged them to go, supported the teen-type youth groups. A couple of years ago, he got a brain tumor. And he was, I don't know his exact age, he's much younger than me. So here's Brenda, his wife's update yesterday. Thank you for all your prayers, check-ins, and visits. They've been welcomed, needed, and appreciated. Steve and I are so blessed to have each one of you in our lives, whether near or far. The Lord is using you all to strengthen, encourage, and comfort us. So thank you, and please don't stop. She goes on to describe the changes. He's home now from a couple of recent encounters that got him to the hospital. He's not eating and drinking much. He's pretty much in his bed, and they've now transitioned to palliative care. I'll say that much. And she says, which kind of is a summary for the whole sermon that just showed up yesterday, it's a privilege to share this with you, all sweet friends, because you have shared your hearts with us. As we are all going through the peaks and valleys of life, we are commanded to be strong and courageous, easier in the good times than in the difficult times. Through both, Jesus is with us. Let us praise him for who he is and ask him for wisdom and guidance through this journey of life. He is the great I am, and nothing is out of his control. Praying for Christ to bless you and for his blessing to be poured out to you and through you so others are blessed as y'all have blessed us. Much love always. So the body participating. See if I got my... Oh, no. See, I'm over time, so they're not going to let me put slides up. Oh, there we go. Okay, so I'm going to do a really... We're going to do the close here in just 1 second, but I really wanted to give you an opportunity to think about this. Here at Cornerstone, we have a prayer chain, a meal train, and other things. But these are two really obvious ways for the body to be engaged. The prayer chain, you can sign up. If you're not on it, you can sign up by sending email to prayer@cbclilburn.org. Again, you know, those of you that know me, I'm a little detail-oriented. So I did a really quick count yesterday. And since 2010, I have over 6,000 prayer requests that went through the Cornerstone prayer chain, give or take. Some of those are administrative type messages amongst the prayer chain people, but most of those are prayer requests in my email folders, over 6,000. There's two parts to this, as you walk up your mountain, and we'll come back to the picture as we close. For us as a body to respond, as you've heard some examples today, we actually have to know that you're persevering through something. And while you may not have what you think is the level of prayer request that matches so-and-so's that seems really serious and dire and is, we desire to be a community here. In the 10 and 10 goals, we're talking about discipleship groups. That's a great place to be in fellowship and support one another. But in a body-wide sort of way, if you will, here at Cornerstone, for me personally, I mean, I have a lot to say about prayer, which is a whole nother message. The prayer chain is the place to be. Be a recipient. Just sign up for it. You'll get emails. It's usually one or two a day at the most. And you'll know what's going on here. And you can be praying about it. And if so led, you can respond to that as a member of the body, sharing God's love and care and concern for someone else in our body here. So please, even if you don't want to sign up and get those requests, share your life with us through the prayer chain. Let us know how we can be praying for you. And the meal train is a similar thing. I talked to Tammy this morning. She was okay with me putting her email and phone number. That's her cell phone number up there. Signing up for this doesn't mean that you have to be a gourmet cook, she reminded me. You can call someplace and have meals delivered. You don't have to be the cook. Again, as a shepherd, I get these. And if I wait just a couple of hours, usually, and then go look at it, not because I wanted to wait, but because I get to it at that timing. You know, there's 10 meal train signups for the next 3 weeks, spaced out, and they're almost all signed up for. That's how we respond at Cornerstone. And you can be part of that to help support each other. There's other ways to do it. These are just two that are on my heart that everyone here could do. You can participate and help others as they persevere. So here's where we're going to end up. Application and reflection. Rob made an excellent point about this a few weeks ago. There's some application we just talked about, things you can practically do. There's plenty of others of those. But I would say this morning, I would encourage you to reflect. Sit with it, as he said. Chew with it. Chew on it. Think about what mountain you're climbing right now. Where are you? I saw that picture, and just as a really quick way of doing it, you know, you've got the leader, you've got someone who looks like they're full of joy, and then you've got a couple of people sort of stalled there. You got one who seems to need help, and the other who's providing some help. Very practical in this case. I'm not sure if they're tying a shoelace or whatever. But that picture, and there's others there a little further behind. Maybe if you're off by yourself, it's not in the picture, maybe you're trying to persevere all on your own. You're not even on the screen right now. But those two in the middle really captured my attention. And that's what I want to leave you thinking with today, and me too, because I have been. Where do you need help? How can we help you? Please share with us so we can. and think about how can you help others. You might go, well, I can just pray, and I can't do this and that. Yeah, well, I can just pray is a very interesting sentence all by itself. Please do. It's not just. It's a very important thing. So think about where you are today, what you're facing, and how you're persevering. Let's close in prayer.